Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Good to be with you. And we have a very special guest this hour on the program. And here's the deal. Many of you are dealing with legal issues regarding certain COVID requirements and booster requirements, etc. So our guest is from Hogan Willig, Attorneys at Law, one of the sponsors of this program. His name is Steve Cohen. And if you have a question about your particular situation, I ask that you basically formulate a very easy, well, maybe not easy, but a to-the-point question, and then Steve can offer his opinion. And now here's the thing that I really want to point out. There was a time where the political paradigm was right versus left, liberal versus conservative. And I happen to believe that that is an outdated paradigm, that the new paradigm is really those of us who are liberal, those of us who are conservative, united against those who do not believe in freedom, those people who are authoritarians or totalitarians. And the old model to me doesn't work anymore, because if you're a liberal but you love and support the Bill of Rights, we're on the same page. Every other disagreement is just, it's rather recondite. But if you are in favor of total government control over the individual, and the individual being nothing more than a serf or peasant of the state designed to simply follow orders, got a real problem with that. And joining us right now, we have attorney Steve Cohen. Steve, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
Now, we have asked this, I know, a number of times, and you're probably sick of answering the question, but I have to ask it anyway. Is a mandate a law, or does a mandate have the effect and force of law?
Well, it's fascinating. The stranglehold that the government has right now over people takes more the form of saying, you know, you have to be terminated from your job, and if you're terminated, you won't be given unemployment benefits, and if you don't follow this mandate, you'll lose your liquor license or your health department license to run your kitchen. So that's the way they are imposing their will upon the people, unlawfully, I would add.
And as far as something that came up in the news yesterday, Erie County and Mark Poloncarz announcing a fine against the village of Williamsville because at a recent meeting, people were not wearing masks. Steve, the county's Department of Health, in letters it has been sending to restaurants, has specifically stated that if people are medically unable to tolerate a mask, they don't have to wear a mask. So my question to you is, how can Poloncarz and his ilk presuppose that the mayor or any other village authority has the legal okay to pry into an individual's health status? If I am not wearing a mask at a meeting, must it simply be assumed that I'm medically unable to tolerate a mask and leave it at that?
These problems are cropping up everywhere. You know, we've got the Shannon Joy situation out in Monroe County, New York. We've got the County Executive Poloncarz situation in the village of Williamsville here. There are issues at the local, state, and federal levels. The thing that's rubbing you wrong, appropriately so, is that people have forgotten what the role of government is and what it is not. And it's very, very troubling. If you're asking me on a micro-analysis standpoint whether a government can fine people for showing up to a public meeting without a mask, I say absolutely not. They cannot be fined. if you wanted to come into the offices, any one of our five offices of Hogan Willig, my boss, Corey Hogan, can say only people who are wearing green shirts can come in because it's private property. It's another story. But when you're talking about an open governmental meeting, the government just doesn't have that authority. You know, you and I have talked off the record, off the air, about some about the concept of the role of government during COVID. And we are at a crossroads here. We are in a situation which is going to define where we are as a nation moving forward. I mean, COVID was a hugely missed opportunity for global unity. You know, we had the opportunity to vanquish a common enemy, you know, a virus. It was a gift from God in that sense, you know, COVID, not in any other sense, but in that sense that, hey, all the nations of the world could have pulled together and to vanquish a common enemy. But we didn't do that. It became divisive. It became politicized. And the scandals that we're seeing here, you know, the scandals aren't even the politicians of the executive branch violating the Constitution and breaking the law. That happens all the time. The scandal is the legislature is not doing anything about it. There are no censures, expulsions, reprimands, impeachments going on. It's one thing for president, the mayor, county executive, governor to break the law. That happens not infrequently, but it's quite another thing to permit it. For the people at a grassroots level or through their elected representatives to just allow this to happen and sit back like sheep is deeply, deeply disturbing.
So, Steve, what are we to do? And I want to take telephone calls for attorney Steve Cohen, Hogan Willig. The phone number is 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Because, Steve, you and I were both brought up in an era in which it was very fashionable to state, I may disagree with what you say, but I'll fight to the death your right to say it. Why we were brought up in an era where, well, controversial speech is the only speech worth defending because non-controversial speech doesn't need any particular defense or preservation. But, Steve, in 2022 in America, I legitimately know business owners and private citizens who do not wish to express their opinions because they are scared not of being sent off into the gulag, but of being sent off into the a system of fines and admonishments of New York State through the SLA, the Department of Health, or whatever. This is not healthy for democracy.
You're absolutely right. It is frightening. I mean, the integrity of our democracy isn't threatened when a politician breaks the law. It's threatened when we do nothing about it, when we permit it. And you say, well, what can we do about it? Well, the ballot box is the most powerful means of expression. And we utterly failed as a society to put the right people in office or to basically communicate that, hey, we're not going to take government intrusion into our lives by voting people out of office. That didn't happen. We are in searingly trying times, yet people just accept it. They have forgotten what so many people died on the battlefield to establish. It's very, very disturbing. And yes, people do fear retaliation and retribution and governmental pettiness and suspension of licenses and things like that. They're living in fear. And just to take it a step further, Tom, as you and I have also discussed from time to time, what's going on with the media? The media, they're not reporting accurately. The media, you know, a free press is vital to our republic, to our democracy. And, you know, if you turn on, MSNBC, it's going to be a liberal viewpoint. You know, if you turn on Fox News, it's going to be a conservative standpoint. CNN, it depends on who the broadcaster is, but there are no more Walter Cronkites out there. There's no more people who are saying it like it is, and that's very, very troubling.
Yeah, we've confused and conflated objective journalism with subjective opinionated talk, and it's something, and one of the reasons for that is the talk show hosts make more money than the news anchors, and the news anchors typically understand this all too well. Steve Cohen is with us, attorney Hogan Willig, News Radio 930 WBEN. I know we're going to get a lot of questions on this, so I want to address it up front. There are people who are in healthcare at various levels. They might have interactions with patients. They might have interactions with food or linen service or whatever. But the governor is rolling out mandated booster shots. And Steve, this is where it gets interesting because I know there are at least 500 or 600 people who have contacted me, anybody ranging from physician's assistants to medical doctors to RNs to LPNs to social workers, et cetera. There are hundreds of medical professionals who are telling me and an individual who is trying to start a counter group, they're telling me, I got the vaccine. That's as far as I'm going. I am not getting the booster. And if they want to fire me for not getting a booster, that is the hill on which I'm choosing to die. Legally speaking, what can you offer people who are objecting to the boosters?
Well, here's the first hurdle we have. We have two sets of cases that came down from the U.S. Supreme Court just last week. We have, and they are seemingly contradictory cases. You know, we have the healthcare cases, and then we have the OSHA cases. And the Supreme Court, which is the supreme law of the land, or the Supreme Court of the land, they've said that, you know, OSHA does not have the right to mandate that people be vaccinated and boosted. Great. It makes perfect sense. And by the way, Tom, I believe firmly in people's not only their right to do what's in their best interest, but their practice of doing what's in their and their family's best interest. I'm vaccinated and I'm boosted. I talked it over with my doctor, who I trust. He's been my doctor for over 30 years, and I made the decision. But it's not right for everybody. There are some people who choose not to take the vaccine, either for religious reasons or health reasons. And for some reason, there seems to be no acceptance or recognition. You know, Judge David Hurd in the Northern District wrote a great decision saying that people who have legitimate religious beliefs that prevent them from taking the vaccine cannot be compelled to. It would be unconstitutional. And our Second Circuit Court of Appeals, the Second Circuit, in contrast to other circuits that rule differently, said, oh no, we're not permitting a religious exemption. Good Lord, that is a First Amendment right that's being violated.
Steve, I talked about that in the very beginning monologue of the show, that is as sacrosanct a right as you possibly can enjoy as an American citizen, the right to freely exercise your religious belief. And we have 2022 judges who are doing away with centuries of precedent of American liberty, and it is deeply disturbing to me.
Their decisions, they're striking me like clods on a coffin. I hear their refusal to permit religious exemptions, and I'm like, wait a minute. You took an oath, you know, to abide by the United States Constitution. It is very disturbing. I mean, our Constitution wasn't written for us. It was written by us. And people in power are treating our Constitution like it's a relic of a bygone era. It's a very active document. It's a very active body of law that controls the way this country is supposed to be run. And people have forgotten about that. And I don't understand it. Look, by any metric, Tom, you know, you are on the conservative side of things, and I'm on the liberal side of things. And as you said, when I was on hold waiting for you to waiting for this call to kick in, you talked about us being at a shift of a paradigm, and you're absolutely right. We're both constitutionalists, and there are constitutionalists in the far left and the far right and everybody in the middle, and I think that's what this comes down to, what the role of government is. To your throngs of people and to our many, many clients who are getting fired because they're refusing to be vaccinated or, in your last example, boosted, you know, I say this. I said, look, you have a right to make a healthcare decision for yourself. The decision that came down by the U.S. Supreme Court, they said that because these are all Medicare, Medicaid involved parties, they can, you know, there's an agreement that you're going to abide by their regulations. And if their regulation is that you be vaccinated and boosted, then they can compel it. That is absolutely scary because virtually every healthcare agency has to participate with Medicare and Medicaid. Otherwise, they really can't survive in today's society. So it's become a mandate. But it's wrong.
And the coercive element of this, especially being such a new vaccine, is also deeply disturbing. Steve Cohen, attorney at law, is with us, and I want to take some telephone calls. I want to go to Bob in West Seneca, otherwise known as Robert Gemaiolo, the owner of the Critchin. And Bob, I owe you a debt of gratitude because you are the one who sent me a copy of your nice little letter from the Erie County Department of Health, which specifically stated that people medically unable to tolerate a mask don't have to wear one, and that actually came into use the very day you sent it to me. So thank you.
Oh, you're absolutely welcome. You know, the one thing when I'm looking at it, because I got the letter, and I thought this was specifically to me, you know, and I saw the other letter that the Williamsville thing got, and they just changed the name. I thought this was personalized, and apparently it's not.
Now, based on your experiences as a restaurant owner and a believer in freedom and as a veteran of the United States Air Force, what do you want Steve Cohen to know, or what would you like to know from Steve Cohen?
Well, first, I mean, we were part of the initial lawsuit, you know, last year. And there was talk about after that suit was, you know, they declared it whatever. I mean, it didn't really get us anywhere other than buy us some time and think that we, you know, that we were granted something, which maybe we were. But then there was talk about some sort of a sister lawsuit that was going to grant us the ability to sue for damages. Because honestly, what the county is doing, what the state is doing, is killing these businesses. And not only are they're killing them by keeping people, they're scaring them from coming here, you know, from going out to the places and supporting them. And, you know, my question is, where do we stand with that? And then now they're stepping on people's rights, you know, the constitutional rights. It's like, okay, well, with these decisions that are made, you're causing a ripple effect that is irreparable sometimes for people. And, you know, this medical thing. What, where it says medically unable to tolerate, is anybody taking into consideration the mental part of it rather than just the physical? Physically, I can handle something in my face. Mentally, not so much.
All right, that's a great question, Robert, and I hope you call back later after Steve is done as well. Steve Cohen, medically unable to tolerate a mask is a provision made for those who may be psychologically unable to tolerate a mask.
And if they were to, and first of all, I appreciate that Robert is standing up for his rights. We need more of that. And he's also right that what we did with the initial lawsuit is we did buy people time, and eventually when the government removed the restrictions, the lawsuit was mooted. As far as suing for damages, that's something that we are still collecting plaintiffs who are calculating the damages they lost. And as a final response to part one of what Robert was talking about, you'll recall that they were claiming that restaurants being open was the cause of the spread. And then we brought FOIL lawsuits demanding the contact tracing data, which they refused to provide. And the fact that they refused to provide it was really a tacit admission that it wasn't restaurants or ball stadiums that were causing the spread of this. It was the spread was happening over 74%. In the home, so all of those restrictions backed out after 22 lawsuits. I'm sorry, 18 lawsuits. They finally, they've all been, they've evaporated. As far as the medical, the ability to medically tolerate masks, I would say that if you can get, and it's not whether someone says that they are psychologically damaged, mentally damaged, but if you can get documentation from a physician or from a psychologist, psychiatrist, maybe a social worker, somebody who's credentialed, that says that the you know, wearing a mask is psychologically adverse to you, then I would say you have the same argument as if there is a medical allergy. That would be the claim. I think that the courts would probably shake their heads, many of them, and disagree, because right now the judges have forgotten, many of them, not certainly not all of them, but they have forgotten that they are stewards of our Constitution, and that personal choice, personal freedoms are supposed to govern this land.
I want to revisit that coming up after the break. Hey, folks, if you're just joining us, welcome. We have a real treat today. Steve Cohen is with us from Hogan Willig, and he's with us early, so we're actually having more content with Steve Cohen. And your questions, maybe some of you with the boosters or your own situation or the situation involving a family member. Obviously, this is a very, very big issue, continues to be. And every time you think it goes away, we have more controversy stirred up. Steve Cohen, Hogan Willig is with us. It's Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All righty, it is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Glad you are with us. Thanks. Joe Beamer filled in yesterday, did he, Pasquale? Thank you to Joe. I'm going to get this, I'm going to figure out this throat situation sooner or later. I'm going to get scoped again next Tuesday and figure out if the antibiotics have done it with the staph infection. So, you know, it's one of those things. I feel just dandy, but got to watch the voice. I won't be singing soprano anytime soon. Anyway, we're joined by attorney Steve Cohen. Hogan Willig is the law firm. Yeah, they're sponsors of this program. And, yep, my daughter is an attorney over there and works very, very closely with Steve. And we're talking about all of the COVID-related legal issues we can possibly fit in to 1 hour of broadcasting. I mean, there's so many other issues that we'd like to get into, but obviously this situation is a big one for many of you, and especially with the booster idea right around the corner. And let's go to Gene in Williamsville, who's been on hold. Gene, you're on WBEN with Steve Cohen.
Well, good afternoon, Tom. You know where I stand. But I do have a question regarding, and if no one has ever brought this up, can you explain home rule and how it applies to the towns and villages and municipalities in Erie County? Because that's never seemed to have been addressed.
All right, Steve, is that something with which you are conversant?
Well, it's an interesting question. And the home rule is the concept of a specific municipality controlling its own affairs. And the home rule, the problem is, you know, licensures are on a state level. Licensures, they are also on a county level. So the village of Williamsville, just to take one, you know, does not have the ability to suspend licenses for failure to comply with things. The state and the county and the federal government seem to have a lot of the power associated with sanctions for violating what I consider to be unlawfully imposed mandates. When it comes to taxes, sales tax, things like that, the home rule state would be the taxing authorities like cities and counties and things like that. But we have people who fear sanctions, like what you were talking about, Tom, that you have friends who, or listeners, who are concerned about retaliation, and the retaliation is coming from a higher level. But I am all for, governance at the local level. I think that makes the most sense, and that's what the Constitution is geared for. You know, the role of the federal government is supposed to be far smaller than it has turned into, and we are, as you said, we're at the delta of a new paradigm.
Gene, thank you very much for the phone call. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Here is Frank in Amherst with attorney Steve Cohen. Frank?
Yes. Hi, Mr. Cohen. I just wanted to ask you, I was looking at a copy of the Constitution here on the screen and reflecting on a couple thoughts here regarding religious exemptions. What is it that's in the Constitution, and what is a religious exemption? I was raised of a certain religion, and I had members of my family that were in the clergy. I can't see anything in the Constitution or anything in my own religious background, so to speak, that would prevent me from getting a shot. I got two shots. I got the booster. I got it over with. I don't understand people who are going to lose a job or call up a radio show or any of the other things that they're doing, walking around in the cold with signs in front of their house saying they're not going to get the shot because of something that actually doesn't exist. What the heck is in the Constitution that I'm staring at, or what is there about any kind of a religion that has to do with not getting the darn shot?
Well, I've got a bunch of answers for that one, but Steve, do you want to go ahead?
I'm sorry, Tom. I didn't want to step on you. Sure, I'll take it if you want me to.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what was your name again, the caller?
His name was...
It was Frank.
Frank.
Yeah. Frank, turn to the end of the Constitution. Turn to where you get, you know, after Article 7, you know, to the back, and then take a look at the amendments to the Constitution. Take a look at the First Amendment, and it says specifically that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. So the federal constitution, the U.S. Constitution, applies to all 50 states because of the 14th Amendment that says the provisions of this federal constitution shall apply to the states. And there are going to be some constitutional scholars that are going to sort of cringe at that and say, you know, it's not quite what it says, but we understand what you're trying to say, Cohen. But if you take a look that the First Amendment proscription or prohibition against abridging the free exercise or prohibiting the free exercise of religion trickles down to the states. And we say that, or I believe the Constitution says, it's not Steve Cohen or Tom Bowerly saying this, it's the Constitution. It's George Mason and Elbridge Gerry and James Madison who are saying that the requirement that you take a shot, a vaccine, even if it's against your religion, well, that's prohibiting, that's preventing you from observing and practicing your religion the way you want to.
And Steve, in the real world, to flesh out an example, we spoke a couple of weeks ago with former obstetrician Dr. Jamie Obst, O-B-S-T. She is a very, very passionate Roman Catholic. And in her belief system, she religiously cannot take a vaccine that has anything to do with aborted stem cells. That is against her conscience as a matter of faith. And yet she did not have a religious exemption from a Catholic hospital to follow her Catholic beliefs. So she resigned her job instead of having to explain down the line why she had lost privileges at a local hospital. And she and her family will be moving to Florida.
You know, religion doesn't flow from a particular church. The churches flow from people's spiritual relationship with the supreme architect of the universe, with God. It's a personal thing. And how dare anybody try to say, well, because you're Roman Catholic and the Pope hasn't proscribed it or prohibited anybody from taking it, I reject the religious exemption. People could say, look, spiritually, I don't feel right putting, you know, in this case, human stem cells in my body or human embryonic cells in my body. Or they could just say, you know, on a more fundamentalist standpoint, they could say, you know, I think that whether I get this illness or not is the will of God. I don't like putting any kinds of vaccines into my body. And people have the right to make that choice, even if the choices are ill-advised. And, you know, how dare the government try to step in and affect that?
So, therefore, despite the fact that it does not state in the Constitution you may turn down a vaccine, it's there in black and white with the free exercise clause of the First Amendment.
it's inherent within it. It's inherent within the First Amendment of the Constitution that people can practice their own religions. Now, of course, there are going to be limits on that. If your religion involves human sacrifice, we draw the line. You know, society, our government draws the line. Says, okay, you can't kill people, you know, even if that's part of your religion. And then there's certain cruelty to animals things. So certain animal sacrifices have been outlawed. And that's questionable. That comes up every few years, and it's always interesting when it gets before the court. But we're not even, our toe isn't even against the line here. If somebody says, as a matter of my personal relationship with God, I believe that the vaccine violates my fundamental beliefs, well, that's the end of it. It should be the end of it.
Steve Cohen, attorney at law, 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. And again, folks, about 500-600 of you reached out to me late last week. I have sent your emails on to the person I know who wants to set up the group that will be fighting the booster mandate. It is out of my hand now. I am awaiting a fresh email from the person I know. I will put that email up on my Facebook page, and that person can organize his organization as best as he sees fit. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Let's go to Jim in Buffalo. You are on with attorney Steve Cohen, Hogan Willig. Go ahead.
Yes, the question I have is, how can an EUA or an experimental vaccine be forced or mandated on someone? I'm basically being forced into an experiment. And why is this aspect, or is it, being litigated?
You know, Jim, I wish that you could be, that you were speaking with a megaphone so that even people who weren't listening to the radio heard your question and that every politician heard your question. Of course, that is the question. And shouldn't you, Jim, and my wife and I and Tom, shouldn't we have the right to talk to our doctors and say, hey, doc, what do you think? Is this vaccine safe? And then listen to what they have to say. Yes, it's experimental. The FDA approved this, with enormous, extraordinary pressure. People from the Departments of Health on the state of New York, Howard Zucker resigned. People from the state of New York and the federal government resigned because they felt that a vaccine was being pushed that may have consequences later on. I decided to take the vaccine. That was my own decision. But I think that I would have had every right, so do you, Jim, have every right, as far as I'm concerned, to say, you know what? This is an experimental vaccine. You know, at one point, you know, thalidomide was a medicine that was prescribed to women, and of course, it was approved by the FDA. And then it was, after a little time passed, it resulted in some horrific birth defects. We don't know what's going to happen with this. So we have supplanted personal judgment and the ability to talk to our own physicians with government mandate. Our Constitution has been sacrificed on the altar of community appeasement. People are saying we need to protect everybody. Vaccines are good. So we need to be able to ram it down people's throats because it's the right thing to do.
And while Jim is still on the line, Steve, something that we've talked about before, I know I've talked about it with Corey Hogan from Hogan Willig as well, but the idea, you know, you and I are both fascinated by what happened in Nuremberg after the Second World War, the various war crimes trials that took place against those who committed atrocities of genocide, those who committed medical atrocities, etc. But in the late 1940s, one of the things that came out of Nuremberg was the medical idea that experimental medicines, there was nothing that could coercively be done to get somebody to take an experimental medicine. And you just pointed out, this is basically an experimental medicine because we don't have the longitudinal data on what is going to happen in the long term. And yet, medically, unethically, in my opinion, you've got physicians and government people who are using coercion, like fear of losing your job and not even getting unemployment benefits, to get people to take this. The Nuremberg argument, the Nuremberg Protocol argument, does it have any bearing on this?
Sure. How about the many physicians who have said, you know what, there are some tried and true medicines out there to treat that have been used to treat other conditions that we would like to prescribe. I'd like to prescribe to my client, my patient. And for doing so, I have a list of physicians who have been in contact with this office that got their licenses suspended. And they got their DEA licenses to prescribe drugs suspended because they were prescribing drugs around the country that were not approved for the treatment of COVID. That is ridiculous. It is ludicrous. And yes, your reference to one of the findings from the Nuremberg proceedings is very, very relevant. These are experimental drugs, and everyone will tell you they're experimental drugs, everyone who's telling the truth. You know, there's the saying that when tyranny becomes law, lawful rebellion becomes duty. And I think we're there, Tom. For the first time in our lives, I think, in our, you know, for the past, you know, 60 years we've been on this planet or so, we're there.
Well, and of course, there's also the argument that that is not just, is not law, which was used in antebellum America. Steve Cohen, can you talk about the role of individual rights and the role of our government and who is supposed to have the power in this country?
You know, the soul of this nation is being sacrificed in the supposed interest of public health. And I'm not talking about the economic infrastructure. I'm talking about the heartbeat of a democratic society, the right of the people to be free of governmental intrusion, the right of the people to make decisions for themselves. That's what's at stake right now. That's what's going on. You know, we've elected a lot of people. Many of these people are good people, and they have good convictions and good ideas, but they don't have the courage to meet their convictions when they are put to the test. You know, they get elected on a platform, and then they cave. And we are in some trouble now. What happens now, I mean, we're at an interregnum, at a time between normalcy and COVID and the resumption of normalcy. So the role of government is not supposed to be to supplant our rights that are guaranteed to the people by the 10th Amendment. The role of government is supposed to be to provide for a common defense, to provide for the larger scope benefits of a federal government. And same thing with state government. It's not to step into our intimate decisions about our own health. Look, if you don't want to go outside without a mask because you fear you're going to catch COVID, by all means, wear a mask, wear three of them. If you feel you want to get this experimental vaccine, as I did, then by all means, get it. And same thing with a booster. But for government to force that upon us is frightening. It is absolutely frightening. The Constitution is the law of the land, and it is being sacrificed.
And I'm sure we're going to get into this in the next hour, but what is also disturbing to me, the people who for many years will say, I'll have your back, I'll always have your back, something happens, I'll have your back. And now we've got people who actually need their backs to be covered, and the people who said, I'll have your back, are scared that the government is going to make their business or their personal life a living hell. And that's not the way the power equation is supposed to be in the country that starts off its founding document with we the people, not
absolutely right.
We the government.
Quote from the late, great Martin Luther King, and I love Dr. King. He was a young man when he was assassinated, and some great brilliance came forth from him. And he said, the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. And we have a lot of people who have said, I will stand with you. And then they, you know, they bang the podium. And then when they are put to the test, they utterly fail. And that's why when it comes time for election time, we need to get rid of the people who are not doing what they promised. And we need to install people who hopefully will. You know, I'm very much in favor of supporting whoever is in office. I think it's been ridiculous what happened with Trump, what's happening with Biden, with the people. You know, the moment somebody's elected, even Obama, and I have a lot of I take a lot of issues with President Obama, but once somebody's elected to office, they're our president. We need to not interfere with their running of the country, but then when the time's to when they fail us as presidents, Trump, Obama, Biden, if you feel they have failed us, we have to fight like heck to get somebody new in there. But right now, everybody sits back, and either they're like sheep accepting things, or on the other hand, they just interfere with everything that the person in office does such that nothing can be done. You know, I'm not asking anybody to buck the system or change the system. I'm asking them to restore it.
Steve, I want to thank you very much for your time, as always today. Always a pleasure, and I know we'll get you on in the future, and I'll plan things out with a little more accuracy next time. Steve Cohen from Hogan Willig Attorneys at Law, 636-7600 is the phone number, 636-7600.